Good morning, everybody.
That was way too perky for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Today we're going to cover Galatians chapter 2. Again, this is kind of an overview over each chapter of Galatians as we go. And we're not diving in as deep as we could because we want to keep it a chapter, an episode. So, as we continue on this podcast, we will look into digging into Galatians for different reasons. So just stick with us, and we're all going to learn and teach and communicate as much as we can. So Galatians 2 is mainly Paul writing to the Galatians, of course, discussing law and circumcision and making sure that everybody understands. So if you want, we can begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we want to ask that you watch over this study, help us to say what you want us to say, help everybody to have open hearts and open minds and study on their own and to show themselves approved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walking in Grace with Matthew and Whitney.
Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. All right, so if you remember the end of Galatians 1, Paul is telling what he did after he received the gospel of grace from Jesus in verses 18 through 24. So Galatians 1, verses 18 through 24. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So Galatians 1 ends saying that it had been more than 3 years since he received the gospel of grace from Jesus in the appearance of Jesus on the road to Damascus. So Galatians 1 ends saying that it had been more than 3 years, and now we're looking at another 14 years. So we're at least 17 years at this point since he received the gospel. All right, so verse 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So if you go back, I made a short video, a short podcast about this earlier this week to give kind of a heads up of what's coming today. And I covered this part. So Titus doesn't want to be circumcised. He was born a Greek, and he doesn't want to be circumcised. Does this prevent Titus from being saved in the dispensation? No, it doesn't, because he was a Greek and not a Jew. And he isn't in the time of the law. He's in the time of grace. So get with me in Acts chapter 15, verse 23. We're going to look at 23 and 24. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. What does that mean to you, Whitney?
It's pretty clear that that means that you are not commanded to be under the law, which included circumcision.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's saying. So we aren't under the law. Just like we got in a conversation on Friday with one of my friends on Facebook, and he was asking about tattoos and piercings. Well, everybody brings up, I think it's Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
It says not to mark yourself and not to cut yourself. Well, that's Leviticus. And if you read in verse 2 of, is it Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, it says that God is talking to the people of Israel. I'm not from Israel. I'm not an Israelite. I'm not a Jew. I don't live in the time of the law. So that doesn't apply to me. Hence, I've got tattoos. I do. If you got a problem with that, then sorry about it. I don't. If you don't like them, that's fine. But I'm not less saved than the next person just because I have tattoos. My ear's been pierced since I was about 12, or I don't know. I might have been 15 or something. But we don't live in the time of law. We don't. That doesn't apply to us.
Well, also in that book, verse 9:3. Actually, we'll start at 2. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. That's in the same chapter.
Yeah. Why don't we do burnt sacrifices?
It's very burnt offerings. Specific.
Yeah, it's specific to who God is talking to. And if you just read your Bible, if you read the whole chapter that it's talking about, and if it doesn't specify who it's talking to, go to the chapter before.
Yep.
Go to the
it
chapter
will
before.
Always tell you. You have to have context when you're reading the Bible. You can't
Absolutely.
Just pick something and say, this applies to me, because if you do, you're going to pick one verse that says that you have to have a lamb to sacrifice, and in the next verse it says you have to have a ram to sacrifice, and in the next verse it says you have to have this and this for your sins, but then over in Romans through Philemon it says you are to do no works. So which is it? You have to have context to your reading, or else now it's up to you to decide how you are saved. And that is not what God made the law for. That's not why he sent Jesus to die for us. None of this is our decision. We have a book to read from God for a reason. And we have to obey his rules. If we're not obeying how to read the Bible, then we're being disobedient.
Yeah. I don't even know what to follow that up with. It's absolutely true. Again, can't say this enough. Study to show thyself approved. All right, so moving on to verse 4. So Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now listen to this. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Whitney's short podcast that she did earlier this week, you need to go listen to it. It's called The Significance of Bible Versions, and she does an absolutely extraordinary job explaining the differences in the versions of the Bible in just this verse. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so the first thing that you have to see is the first two words. But, what does but mean? That means something in addition to what's already been said that is going to be different. Contrarywise, what does contrarywise mean? Not the same as it's contradicting what was just said. So that tells you right there, stop, listen to what that word means, think about it, and distinguish that there are two different things that are about to be talked about. If somebody says contrarywise, that means different. So things that are different are not the same. That's very important to point out, first of all. And then they give you two different gospels here, because it says the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. And we know this is Paul speaking, so we know that unto is saying that it's a new thing that was given to him. It was given unto Paul. And the gospel of the circumcision was given unto Peter. That means two different things were given to two different people. And when you look at different versions of the Bible, that word of gets skewed and turned around, and it says two. So in different versions, it's going to say, when they saw that the gospel was committed to me, to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. So that makes it sound like there's one gospel that's given to two people.
Yeah.
Unto is very, very, very important. Just like you have to pay attention of contrarywise, and the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. That's making two distinguishments right there too. Uncircumcision and circumcision are not the same.
I think the word of, as small as it is the most important word in this piece of scripture.
Yes, it is.
All right. So again, the podcast that Whitney did is called The Significance of Bible Versions. It's on all of our podcast places. She did a video on YouTube and Facebook. Also, the podcast is on those channels.
Did you put it on Podbean?
I did.
Oh, well, all right then.
Yep. I got you, baby.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so Galatians 2, verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Whitney, who are the heathen?
Gentiles. Non-Jews.
Go back and watch chapter 1. We discussed thoroughly who the heathens are. Mm-hmm. All right, verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Whoa. Paul stood up to Peter and told Peter that he was wrong. Look out now. One of the original 12 was told he was wrong about the gospel he was preaching. Or not preaching, but let's just see what he was wrong about. All right? So verse 12. For before that, certain came from James, He did eat with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So if you're going to live as the Gentiles, why do you demand that the Gentiles should live as Jews? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, not justified by the works of the law,
not justified by the works of the law,
but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Faith of who?
The faith of Jesus Christ.
I don't know that there's any more important faith or anything stronger than the faith of Jesus Christ.
There's not. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ.
There it is again.
And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul just reminded Peter that the Jews are no longer under the law. They can't preach something and then not follow it. This is exactly what we've been saying all along. It is no longer about the law. It is about faith and grace. How incredible is it that we have it easier than anybody else in history to become saved, and people are still perverting it and making it about works? My coworker gave me a great quote, and I don't remember it word for word, so I'm going to try my best. People would rather continue to be wrong than admit that they were wrong in the first place. So people would rather say, you're wrong about what the Bible says. The Bible may say that, but that's not what my preacher said. Then admit that they're wrong. You're wrong if you believe that there's any kind of law that you have to follow to be saved. You're wrong if you believe that there's any work out there that can save you.
How do you know that?
Well, it's a guess, really. No.
Because you get to pick and choose what verse you want?
Yeah.
No, it just said it right there in two different ways. He repeated himself in back-to-back sentences.
In the same verse.
As well as he, in the same
Galatians
verse. Galatians 2:16. It wasn't even two sentences.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
So three times.
The works don't do anything. Get it through. Right here. Right in the head.
And that's
get it through your head.
Just one spot. There are so many other verses that point it out and say it as plain as day. Just like that. Why is this repeated over and over and over again? Why?
Because that's how important it is.
Because God doesn't want us to miss it. You can't keep going with the flow and keep going with mainstream churches just because it's the norm, because it's a feel-good place, and because it feels abnormal to step outside of what's taught in church, because this is something that is different and new, and it's just not the same, and you're scared to even dive into it. I have a family member that is scared to even breathe the wrong way and look at somebody that doesn't believe that in works because she's scared she's going to lose her salvation. Like, do you think that God wants her to live her life that way, being terrified of not even knowing if she does not know if she's saved? She has said that before. Like, if you are going through life thinking, I don't know if I'm saved, that's a good. Pretty good indication that you're probably not saved.
Yeah, you probably aren't paying attention to the correct.
And if you think you can lose your salvation, and if you think that there's a God that's out there that's going to let you lose your salvation because of what you're doing, when he sent his only begotten son to die to take away all those sins, then that's not, then he apparently didn't pay for all your sins.
Yeah.
Because he died in vain if you're going to think that way.
Yep. So this is exactly what we see a lot of times from longtime Christians, air quotes for that, because they have followed their preacher blindly and studied according to how their preacher teaches, so they don't know the truth.
Well, I will say that most of them are probably using a modern day version.
Yep. Yep. Translation matters.
Just so, like we pointed out in that verse about of and unto.
Yeah.
Of and to. Yeah. Versions will change that around and twist it, and Satan can turn one word around and make it a lie.
Yep.
Do you think that he does not know the scriptures just as good as everybody else, if not 1,000% more? Like, his job on this earth is to seek and destroy any sort of truth about God. He will, and if you think that he doesn't work in churches, you are dead wrong. That is his number one goal, is to seek out people that are Christians and twist it into something that it's not, because he's misleading them. He doesn't want the truth to get out there. He will do anything and everything to keep you from studying what we're telling you right now.
He finds a way.
And he will distract you. If you hear this and you're like, there's something about that that makes me want to study, now he's going to lay everything in your path to try and get you to keep from studying.
He's going to give you books to study.
Yep.
Do not go. Instead of studying the Bible.
Right. That's exactly what's happened with our family members. They'll go pick up a book. I saw a book on one of our family members' desks because I was talking to them about versions. And the book was on how do you know which version is the right version to read. Like, if you have to go to somebody else to tell you what God's word says, you're not using your own brain.
Yeah.
And you're getting the opinion of somebody else. That's why we're here to tell you, this is something that we've studied out. This is something that we've taken seriously. Matthew took a year to get to the point where he was ready to talk about it. And he studied it out enough to say, this is what I found. This is the truth. I need to get this out here because so many people are lost.
Yeah.
So you've got to do the work yourself. Go pick up a King James Version Bible and go start reading and try to disprove it.
Yeah. Something that was said at work on Friday, I was actually sitting in the office talking to my manager and one of the other guys that I work with, and we were talking about the Bible and how it gets perversed. And he said something along the lines of, well, people take things and interpret it. People take the Bible and interpret it differently. And I said, that's the problem. Stop interpreting the Bible and read it as it is. Read the Bible. That's it. God didn't put something there so you could interpret it.
He's not the author of confusion.
Yeah.
He tells you in that verse that we just read, justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. There's no interpreting that. There's really not. You can't change that into something else that it doesn't mean, because it says it right there.
Yeah.
Not by the works of the law. We know what the law is because we have background on what the law is.
Yep.
So if it's not of that, then it's not the same.
So, long story short, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. So, Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you live by the law, you are dead by the law. Mm-hmm. If you think that works is going to save you, you are wrong. If you believe that we have to perform any work at all, then you are still trying to live under the law. Baptism is a work. A lot of churches do it, and a lot of churches require it, or you're not saved. They're not reading the Bible properly, or they're reading the wrong version. God doesn't want us to give a show of our faith in baptism. Just live your life better. It isn't required, but it's recommended.
Clarify that. What's recommended?
Living your life better.
Okay. Not
baptism.
Right. Just want to make sure you...
Not showing the world, hey, I'm saved. Look at me. God doesn't want you to do that.
No, God sent Paul to say, I was sent not to baptize.
Yeah.
There's literally a verse that says, I was sent not to baptize. Again, you can't pick and choose and say, well, this verse over here tells me to baptize. Well, if they both say two different things, how do you choose? There has to be logic behind it. God is not the author of confusion. He's going to give you instructions on how to pick and choose, for lack of a better term, how to, which one to pick. Sorry, I said that really weird. But if there's two things that are opposites, do you think that God wants you to pick which one is going to save you, which one's not going to save you, which one is going to give you this in life, and which one is going to give you that in life? No. The Bible was written as our instructions on how to live. He made the rules. He gives it to us in a book. We have to find the right book first, and then we have to apply it. And you have to rightly divide. If you are seeing that there's two different things, you have to look at where it's at in the Bible and in what dispensation. We are
context.
In the dispensation of grace.
Yep. So my final thoughts are everybody wants things to be easy in this world. And when you get it, you don't take it. Why not? Don't we work hard enough already? God has given us a free gift. You don't have to do anything for it. Just believe and put your full trust in that the death, burial, and resurrection are what saves you.
That's it.
Let's pray. God, we come to you and we want to thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for giving Whitney and I the burning fire to get your word out there and to let everyone know how to read your Bible and what it truly says. Thank you for using us as your vessel. We ask that this message reaches the people that it needs to reach, wherever they are. We thank you for everything, and we praise your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week.
This has been Walking in Grace with Matthew and Whitney.